Today on the program, you act like you've never had a meal sitting between a monkey and a beetle before. It's Kubo and the Two Strings. Welcome to the Rewatch Party. I am your host, Nick. Joining me today is the McConaughey to my cock, Roach.
That was a beetle, bro. That was a beetle.
They call him cockroach a couple of times.
How maybe? It's a bug. I mean, it's a...
Look, find something in this movie to make sexual. It's not easy.
I mean, the Moon King? There's butt stuff all over that.
Couldn't go with something between the sisters?
Well, that could have been the King of your moon.
Nah.
Or... I don't know.
Yeah, the twin right. sisters I'm, ripping I mean, off my it. Robe.
So whatever.
Come on.
Yeah. There are options.
Is it your... If it's when it's your podcast, you can come up with
that. That's right. You come up with your own things. Also, that voice talking shit. Damn.
Oh, hey, it's me again.
If he's talking, it's shit.
Rude.
That's how that goes. And then... Loosely controlling this
very
shit show
loosely.
From the internet,
hi boys, how you guys doing? It
the
is
shit is loose.
Oh girl, that shit can be tight. It's tight.
Ish.
Tight. Whoa, ish. It's early in the episode. I don't know that.
So anyway, today we are talking about Kubo and the Two Strings from 2016, directed by Travis Knight, who gave us Bumblebee. But beyond Bumblebee, he worked on, in some capacity, doing either animation or production on Paranorman, The Box Trolls, and Missing Link. So a lot of kid animation.
All Leica Studios. Those were all Leica Studios stop-action movies. So
Hi,
I'm
going to
guess he must have worked a lot with them.
Leica.
I do have some numbers for you. So the budget for this movie was $60 million. Opening weekend in the U.S. and Canada was $12.6 million, and the gross worldwide was $76.2 million for this movie that has a runtime of 1 hour and 41 minutes.
That's actually...
Which I think actually makes it the longest stop-action movie, at least at the time of release. Sorry,
no, I was just going to say that actually surprises me. I thought that it would have done substantially better. I remember that there was a lot of hype about it when it first came
out.
It
won a BAFTA.
Yeah.
I don't think it was really
it wasn't
talked about. Like, I don't think that a lot of people have never heard of it. Like, they didn't advertise it. Yeah.
It was like the Leica Studios, like, least, like, it, I don't know that it was the lowest earner, but at the time it was the lowest earner compared, because they put out Coraline and they put out Box Trolls and a few other movies.
And I don't even remember how I heard about this, but you almost have to, like, seek it out. Like, it's not a big name. They didn't put a lot of
which is amazing, because you have Charlize Theron, Matthew McConaughey, Ralph Fiennes, you've got George Takei is in this movie. It's not a lack of names in it.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why.
I think that was also its own kind of problem at the time, because they're like, why are you having this film set in Japan and not having, you know, other than George Takei, any Japanese people voicing any of the people?
And maybe they're like, we're going to market this to Americans. I don't see that working.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I remember when it first came out. Either way, I was really excited to see it. I never did. I don't remember why. I actually watched it for the first time for this podcast. I had never seen it before. But I remember when it first came out and seeing trailers for it. And I was like, oh, that looks beautiful. Like, I absolutely want to watch that. And then for whatever reason, it just slipped through the cracks. But. Yeah, that surprises me that it did that poorly in the box office.
Yeah, I know that. I think I took my kids to go see it, which they were pretty small, but I'd seen an ad for it or a commercial for it or something somewhere, and I was like, dude, that looks awesome. We're definitely going to go see that. But like, when your kids are that age, it's also like whenever there's a cartoon or something in the theaters, that's an easy go out, take the kids to a movie or whatever, you know?
Yeah. I don't even know how I heard about it. I think I first got it when it hit Redbox, because I had been waiting for it, and
I do love hitting that red box.
Love that red
box. It's weird because it's a kid's movie.
This is awesome. Let me, Let me go find. So. Yeah. And then, yeah. So let's see how this episode plays out. But yeah, I was like, I can't wait for this to actually come out on media that you can own. Because, you know, Redbox is a bit early. And I think I pre-ordered it. It's like, give me the Kubo.
I've only ever pre-ordered one movie. It was Mad Max Fury Road. I pre-ordered that Blu-ray.
That's a lie. It was Mario.
Because I saw that in theaters and I was like, this movie is incredible.
I think I had to go 4 times in theaters. And one of them because I didn't remember.
I remember, like, when I went to Mad Max Fury Road, like, the guy that was cutting tickets had to be 97 years old, which is sad. I mean, hey, welcome to late-stage capitalism, but this dude's tearing tickets in a movie theater. And he's like, Mad Max, hold on to your seat, friend. You're in for a ride. And I was like, easy there, old man.
It's like the Harbinger in a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I went with Darren, manager of the Star. Wow. And we took the whole day off. We got like 7 o'clock tickets for like a 7 o'clock showing or something, and spent the whole day watching the first 3 Mad Max movies. And he found drinking game rules.
So you don't remember the day?
No, I don't remember Beyond Thunderdome at his house. Much less his girlfriend got off work. He had this all planned out. She got off work, so she came and drove us to the theater. The only thing I remember about the first time I saw Fury Road in the theaters was that I dropped my entire large popcorn bucket at my feet.
You cried.
And I was like, well, at least it's large. I can get refills. And I stumbled back out and got a free refill, came back, sat down, and dropped it again. And decided I was done because my feet were buried at this point in 2 large
it's
buckets
like 4
worth
gallons
of popcorn. I just...
I feel so bad.
Suffice it to say, that day, 2 men entered.
I feel so bad for the people that have to clean up after your drunkenness.
I was so much of it. And Darren's just like, what the fuck am I doing hanging out with this
guy? This isn't Mad Max Fury Road.
No, and I didn't see this movie before this screening of it myself. Mr. Wilkes, however, had seen it like 4 or 5 times. He's like, no, put it on the big TV. And so he watched it.
Yeah, it's... Like, I think Nick thought I hadn't seen it before, but yeah, this is a movie that I owned. I just popped the DVD in to watch this one. Like, this is one, man, me and my kids, like, it's one of our favorites, which I get, spoiler alert, it's going to be a rewatch for me.
Yeah. But, yeah,
it's we'll get to it. Podcast.
So I guess we're done again.
Rewatch, yeah. We have to wait to tell people if it's rewatchable. Bitch. How many times do we got to tell you?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. It sucks.
Well, let's get into it. If you must blink.
Okay.
Do it now.
Did it.
Opening line there. We see a full moon during a storm at sea.
Dan's having an
aneurysm. The fact that this is stopped.
He's getting all his blinks.
He's getting
done.
His blinks out because you got to do it now. No, but it's like this is a stop motion movie and we've got a raging sea going on. It's like right out of the gate. Jesus
Christ. It took me a few minutes to go, wait a second. I'm sorry. This is stop. Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's like the stop motion is done so well, it almost looks like you would assume it was digital. It's done. Like,
yeah.
So freaking well.
You don't even notice. Like, it seems like it's just animation. It's not even stop motion. It's
like, I would have thought.
Mind blowing.
Yeah. No. Nothing. Go.
Okay. So there's a tiny boat with a woman in it. This is not the man in the boat. Looking at you, Anthony. So this woman...
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
What up, Jaws?
So she's riding along, just trying to survive, because it's like a kayak, essentially. She's in this ocean storm, and pay careful attention to everything you see and hear. And all of a sudden, she pulls out a shamisen, Japanese instrument, 3 strings on it. The biggest guitar pick you've ever seen. It's like a fucking tortilla chip.
And they are typically made out of tortoiseshell.
The weird shape where it's like a rectangle before it becomes the triangle.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's traditional and calling it is culturally insensitive, but I was really like, how do you, the dexterity is like compared to like what I would consider a traditional guitar pick. The dexterity, the control that you would have, I feel like is so much less, but I guess there was only 3 strings.
Well, and I can tell you that courtesans, Cortisols and geisha traditionally were the ones that learned how to play this. It's part of being an artisan.
So this dude's mom was a hooker.
No, you're mistaking what a geisha is. There's a geisha, and then there's two different types of quote unquote geisha. They're two different words for it. And one, yes, is very much a street. And you can, and the way to tell the difference between them is a true geisha who's just an artist and a conversationalist will have their bows tied in the back, whereas the hookers, you'll see the big old bows in the front because it's easier to get the robes off.
Easier access, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep,
noted.
I do love
the front. I love my women with the bows in the front. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So anyway, she uses her tortilla chip to strum the...
Nacho cheese.
To strum the shamisen. And no matter how unusual it may seem... So we're getting like... Our opening sentence is done in chunks throughout this lady battling the storm. Huge wave comes along and she just fucking hits this Pete Townsend power cord. And Moses is the wave in front of her. And you get to see this, like, Lion King kind of peak in front of her. Like, she's approaching the shore with this thing. And, yeah. it splits, you know, Hadoukens the wave out of her way. And then if you fidget or look away, even for an instant, our hero may perish. And all of a sudden, she gets hit from behind by another wave.
They're coming in waves, bud.
Yeah. The boat breaks into pieces. She gets washed to the shore. Also, you do see a beetle emblem
before
on
she
her
gets
back.
Washed to the shore, though.
It makes sure to, like, focus in.
She gets freaking domed by a coral reef or a water rock.
A water rock?
Yeah.
Worst bukkake ever. That's the only Japanese word I know. I apologize. Just had to fit it in somewhere. It wasn't going to feel natural, but it never does if you're doing it right.
So,
family movie, PG.
The beetle emblem on her back happened to be like a knapsack.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was had a baby in it.
Well, one baby.
Just one baby.
A bag of babies.
This movie.
Yes. Unlike this one does not, unlike last episode, these babies don't explode.
Which is the only time I've used the term baby sack in a non-sexual way in my life.
Dude, stop touching baby sacks.
What?
That's why you have to stay away from school.
And so here's I'm wondering why just now the baby starts crying. Like being thrown around on the waves
of
this boat.
It was like a sound machine. It was a storm. It falls asleep to the sound of storms.
It's a calm baby.
Yeah. Also, unconscious before. Also, babies aren't great at swimming in the ocean.
They almost drowned.
And she was underwater getting.
Oh, you throw babies in the water, they'll swim.
They float. Yeah.
I'm saying this wasn't calming wave sounds. This was massive storm.
Maybe you just couldn't hear the baby crying over the sounds of the gods trying to kill her. Yeah.
Of the storm.
Yeah. I've thrown my kids in the river half dozen times when they were babies.
It's called strength.
They always swim back.
I think you're probably going to say it's
great. You know how people yell Kobe when they throw like trash at the trash can? Kobe, did you go Moses? Chuck your baby into the river?
No.
No?
Oh. Testing Darwin's theory in real time.
I yell Kobe so anyway, every time I miss a shot when I try to throw something in the trash can, and they're like, Dan, you missed. And I'm like, yeah, so did he when he was supposed to land.
That's weird. Like when I get out of the shower and I'm naked and I do the helicopter for my wife, that's when I yell Kobe.
What?
Helicopter jokes.
Helicopter.
Because your penis looks like wreckage?
Sorry. It's...
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Because it would kill Kobe,
Damn.
That's for sure. You
don't want to get brained with that. Burned? Jesus.
So, his name is Kubo. His grandpa took something from him. And we see that the poor little baby already has
spoiler.
A bandage over
is
his
this
eyes.
Goddamn
eyeball. Not really a spoiler. It's They're true. Showing it pretty obvious right here. And then title card. Next, we're hanging out in this cave. We see some shit strewn about, pieces of paper, tiny little like monkey statue, little wooden charm. The baby's now a boy. I don't know, put him at 10 to 12, maybe?
Eh, probably somewhere in there, I guess.
Like preteen? He's cooking over this fire. Mother isn't doing well. You know, he has to, like, try to wake her up and...
Catatonic.
Oh, almost. She's lightly responsive.
Yeah, again, this was the first time I had seen this movie, right, watching it for the podcast. And I put this, like, first 10 minutes of this movie on par with, like, the movie Up, where I was like, oh, I'm watching a cool children's movie. This is going to be a lighthearted evening. And then I watched it, and in the first 10 minutes, I was like, what the fuck?
Yep.
Because, like, you see this woman get her brains bashed in on a sea rock, right? And then next thing you know, you find out that this baby grew up by himself with a vegetative mother, and he's just feeding her grains of rice. And I'm like, what is what and why?
Yeah, one grain at a time, even, because she's like, he does get her off of the rock bed that they have. And gets her to sit next to the fire. Yeah, has to feed her a grain of rice at a time. And
yeah, that's
one of the sadder things.
I just hope that people call their Crocs sea rocks. But get, let me rock my sea rocks. Get the sea rocks on. All right.
Listen, you say people. Now I'm it may just be
sorry.
Me.
Sea rocks.
Sea rocks.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah, he uses the paper and he makes origami animals and a little samurai.
He's like making them with his hands at first.
Yeah, making them with his hands, and she's just blank slate, just staring off.
He's just
which is not unlike my parenting style.
Yeah,
yeah, not a great movie for people with past family trauma. Should have been some trigger warnings from the podcast cast.
Podcast cast. Oh yeah, if your family sucks, don't watch this movie. There we go. So the sun rises, and he picks up all of his paper, his monkey, his shamisen, and heads out of the cave, down the mountain, into town. It's a big market, nice little bazaar going on here, and he has a friend that's a sweet little old lady who's always talking shit on her late husband, so appreciate that.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know if she's doing performing or just she's panhandling
to,
or what. Like,
yeah, but she's always sitting on this one spot.
Yeah, he's like, how was the day or whatever? She's like, not bad. I got 2 pennies and a lint ball. Ooh, this is a nice lint. There, this is nice lint.
And she puts it inside her shirt or something.
Super weird.
Yeah. Hey, you know, she's an old widow.
Sometimes
so
you need fresh pillow
ones,
fluff.
Like, you bake that naturally. You don't have to seed it.
I mean, the Japanese will buy freaking rhinosaur freaking boner pills, so I'm sure tit lint is up there on the list.
Did you say rhinosaur?
Something or other.
like a rhino dinosaur? Yeah. These sure dick pills are from rhinosaurus.
He sure as shit did say that.
You guys not familiar? Whatever. If you grind up their horns, it'll give you a boner.
There's a pill named Rhinosaurus Rex, but Rex is W-R-E-C-K-S, because it, you know, Rex.
Rhinosaur Rex.
The pussy there.
Right. Rhinosaurus Rex. Erex. Oh my God, yep, absolutely.
So she's like, what do you plan to do today? He's like, same thing
try
I do every
take
day.
Take
over the world via music. And she's like, put in a fire-breathing chicken this time. Why? Well, because, you know, a little bit of levity will make... Yeah, people love humor with their adventure stories. Like, oh, okay, I'll see what I can do. And then there's a quick line about, you gonna I don't know, finish the story this time? He's like, fuck you, bitch. Punching the titlin. So
maybe that's why she's. Maybe that's.
Has anyone ever finished around you? You'll bag.
Maybe that's why she has a titlin. It's just for a little bit of extra padding in case she gets punched today.
Has anyone ever finished around you? You old bag. What a mean thing to say. What an incredibly hateful phrase.
You do your job, I'll do mine. Back up, bitch. I'm trying to fucking strum my samurai off or whatever.
Samurai samosa.
Samurai samosa.
Yeah.
Would eat. But, you're just sitting here asking, at least I'm doing something.
Shit.
You ain't even trying to wash windows or nothing. You're just straight begging.
Are we in the kitchen? And why are you talking, bitch?
Stop with that shit. I'm going to kick you in the nuts.
So anyway, he sets out all this paper, starts holding the shamisen, recites the opening lines of the movie, the whole thing. Like, if you have to blink, do it now. And then he just starts rocking. Here comes Pinball Wizard. And the paper comes to life and starts spinning around, and he's telling the story of the samurai who has to find the armor to protect himself from the
Moon
King.
Again, not to say it, but it's stop action. All this paper flying around is fucking stop action.
Yeah, you literally get lost in it. Like, to think, go back and look at it like, oh, this is all stop action. You have to remind yourself through it because
there's somehow like moving something slightly and taking a picture, moving it slightly and taking a picture.
Over 145,000 pictures. Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, and it just all looks so fluid and beautiful. It's fucking fantastic. But the samurai has to find three things: the sword unbreakable, the best breastplate impenetrable,
the best breastplate,
and then the helmet.
Yep, you got it.
So the whole place is just enthralled. Like the whole market.
Somebody had their God. Thesaurus out.
Also,
alliteration.
The word book.
Like, he obviously has magic, right?
Yeah.
Because he's doing the magic things.
Magic
his
exists
mother
in this movie.
Yeah. Is magical because she Moses'd the waves.
Right.
Nobody else in this village is magical. And this tiny boy is playing a half a guitar and making paper tell stories, and nobody's like, what? Everybody's like, oh, this story is fantastic. Keep telling the story. Nobody's like, you made paper alive. That should be illegal.
You're burning you.
Yeah. We're going to tie you to a sea rock.
Like, how is he not king of the town?
He kind of is. I mean, everybody cares about him.
Nobody takes him home. Nobody helps him feed a grain of rice at a time to his vegetative mother. Like,
throw some pennies and then they go about
the
day.
Why would you actually involve yourself?
Magic. Can you imagine if a little orphan boy showed up in the streets of New York and was like, hey, do you want to see me make magic? People would be like, ha ha ha, okay. And then did actual magic. They'd be like, you David Blaine looking ass. Where can I put you on Vegas?
Oh my God, you're into the dark arts? Holy shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've been on the Venice Boardwalk and saw Harry Carey on his rollerblades playing guitar.
That dude,
he made some magic happen. And I gave him $1. So I did not want to go help feed his mother.
We're going to go with the fact that it's a stop-motion movie and they just all believe in magic.
I think we're all going to have to come to terms with
if someone started playing an instrument and paper came to life and origamied itself and flew through the air, I would be like, what the fuck?
I wouldn't give you $1. I'd be like, hello, my name is Dan. I just started a magic record label. Like, I would like to produce you.
I would like to produce you.
I've seen Nick play the guitar, and his magic made every set of panties in the crowd wet. And I didn't stand around being like, I'm going to help feed his mom.
And he did a spit take.
Why is Nick making people pee themselves?
Yeah.
Because he plugs all the toilets up before the game.
You've heard of the brown note. I have the yellow notes.
All right, Dan. We'll do a little song for you from Chuck Berry. We need to start a yellow note, apparently, record label. Let's do this.
The look on Dan's face. It's
just
like
he found gold.
That's not the look I was getting.
This is the gold note, and that does not mean I'm going to sell 100,000 records.
No. So anyway, everybody loves this fucking paper act, and you know, he's this, and he's fighting this monster, and he's got to find, and you know, the whole crowd has heard the story a bunch because they know the names of the three pieces of armor he needs, and blah blah blah. And he does work in the giant fire breathing chicken that his little samurai guy has to cut to pieces.
Suggested.
Yep. And somehow this fire-breathing paper chicken shits out eggs at high velocity like it's Birdo from Mario 2.
You know those weird signs that you see with like the spray zone where a person's like the stick person's bent over? It's like that. No, stop looking at me like all of you are right now.
I think I just caught the end of it.
Apparently, she has a few times too. What kind of fucking clubs are you going to that have bent over people spray zone signs? What?
It's New Orleans. It's New Orleans, baby. It's crazy.
Going back to the Knives Out episode with splatter zones?
I do live in New Orleans, and some shit it does happen here. You know what?
No. We're not. You know whatting? Never mind. This is. You're telling me there's an official caution sign for people spray shitting on each other? Yes. I need you to find it immediately and send it to me.
You got to get out of Kansas, bud.
I have been a lot of places, and I have never been warned to look out for fucking shotgun poops.
Well, I think you've gone to the wrong places.
I'm broken.
It's a party.
Yeah.
So this kid's cartoon.
Yeah. There was a cool one where it's eaten by a shark and then ribbons the shark from the inside and stuff.
And then the spider, and he cuts all the spider legs off, and it's all, again, stop motion paper. It's amazing. Finally, the Moon King comes out, and he's ready for his final battle, but the bell tolls, the sun's going down, it's dinner time, and he's like, oh shit, he's got to pack up and get back to mom, and this is what the old lady meant about never finishing.
Who's the Moon King? I'm the Moon King.
As far as we know, that's what she meant.
Don't ask for whom the bell tolls.
I like to moon the moon until the break of the moon.
Yeah. Was that a
that's a little Flight of the Conchords for you.
Yeah. Yep, that's that. So during dinner, his mother's much more animated. Apparently she's a bit of a night owl, this lady, because she's dancing around and telling stories of her own. She keeps blanking out on stuff, definitely having memory issues, probably due to getting brained. But, this is Hanzo the Samurai braving through a blizzard to get to...
None of those are what you described.
That was just people on a toilet.
I have seen signs that say don't stand on the toilet.
Strange and interesting ways.
I have seen those because there are people around the world with cultural differences. But none of those were look out for scattergun poop holes.
Yep. Okay, so Samurai had to brave a blizzard to get to the Beetle Castle, but suddenly she forgets stuff. And he's like, he's trying to, while you're telling stories, he's trying to help her memory out. She says Hanzo was his dad, and he died protecting them because Grandpa and the sisters, her sisters, killed Hanzo, stole his eye, Kubo's eye. And now they want more. They want your other eye, probably your life. Just promise me you're going to stay away from the night sky. Do not be out during dark. Promise me.
Which starts to make the last scene make sense, where when the bell tolled that it was almost to be nighttime, that's why he took off running, because he's his mother has essentially imprisoned him in their little cave by saying, if you go out at night, you will die.
Yes, and the villain in his story he's always telling is the Moon King. Moon King, which is she. So, also, make sure you always keep this little monkey and your dad's robe with you at all times. Always. Yeah, I know. I'm serious. Yeah, okay, this isn't creepy at all, Mom. Whatever. And so that night, while they're sleeping, the paper comes alive and starts flying around. So when his mother has bad dreams, that she has the same power. She's subconsciously controlling the paper.
But she's a geisha, so it's origami. Slightly, it's a minute difference, but it's important. Yeah, because remember, hers ends when the sun comes up.
That's true. Yeah. She's in the morning. She's pretty comatose. So, next day,
Oiran,
the old lady calls
Oiran
him over again.
The quote unquote whores. Geisha are not whores. They're just artisans. Sorry, it was driving me bananas.
So the next day, the lady calls him over again. She's all excited for this big lamp festival. You light the lamp for your departed family members, their way of remembering. She's like, I bet if you just head to the Riverside right now. You still got plenty of time left in the day. You can make a lamp for your father and partake in this whole thing. I bet you make one hell of a great lamp, you know, with all that paper shit you can do. So he gets down there and he makes a lamp and sets it on a rock. He's like, all right, Dad, you know, all I've ever known is Mom, and she doesn't know what's real anymore, so therefore I don't know what's real because all I've had is this crazy brain rock Mom. So if you wanted to talk to me from the great beyond, now would be a great time to, you know, hop on in here. And everybody else's lamps are lighting up, and they're like, oh, yeah, that means Grandma's here, and they throw the lamp in the water. So I guess if the lamp magically lights up on its own, that means that the souls of your relatives have come to join you for this festival, right?
Yeah, we've all seen ghost hunting shows, right? Where they're like, if you're with us, light this flashlight up. It's the same thing.
Right. But this is pre-battery, so they were just paper lamps that you put fire inside of. It seems smart.
What's the worst?
I mean,
so
there's no light bulbs.
Right, but fire inside of paper just seems... It's short-lived. I guess that's why they do it at the water.
Yeah, it's in the water.
Yeah. So everyone's lamps are lamping except for Kubo's. And he's like, fine, that fucking piece of shit. I hope you never get those cigarettes and come back.
I was going to say, I hope you never found your cigarettes, Pops.
So then the bell tolls, and he's like, oh, fuck. I'm even farther away from home, and it's dark. Like, that bell doesn't warn you that it's getting nighttime. That bell's like, hey, ding,
boom,
night.
It was dark 30 when the bell rang that time.
Yeah, the bell is the light switch, apparently. Because it's immediately dark, and he's like, still trying to talk to Dad a bit, and we cut back to Mom in the cave, and she screams, Kubo! Because, you know, it's nighttime, and he's not back yet. So suddenly these weird ladies appear on the other side of the river. And then talking to them, and they can float. They like float across the water, and their faces don't move at all, even when they talk. It's
they're wearing masks.
Super creepy. Well, we don't know that yet.
Yeah. At least I didn't. Yeah. I guess we know now, but yeah.
Ladies.
I just thought it was all like this telepathic
super
weird
creepy.
Shit.
Super creepy.
Super creepy. Yeah, especially the way it like shows their feet gliding across the water. And so we just need your other eye. And they have like this weird blackish green smoke tendrils coming out of him and chasing him as he runs away through the town. And I do like that it's, you know, the supernatural stuff, once you get around other people, tends to like go away in movies. So it makes you seem like you're a crazy person. But not this one. He runs into town and that black green smoke follows him and just starts fucking people up, taking stuff out. And, so they finally catch up to him, and he's like on the ground going, oh, no, these weird witches. It's like the witch girl from Nightmare Before Christmas grew up and got really pissed off. And so they're about to get him, and the mother shows up and grabs his shamisen and fucking Hadoukens again.
Bling!
And knocks them back. And then she's like, you've got to find the armor and defeat the Moon King. Go right now. And she touches the old beetle emblem on his back, which grows magic wings and flies Kubo away.
Yes, while her the guitar gently weeps.
Which we'll get to later.
So, he wakes up in the middle of a blizzard, and there's a monkey talk to him. Your mother's gone. We have to get to safety before your grandpa finds you. I would, you know, if I was little Kubo, even though I've performed magic myself and I'm aware that magic does exist in this world, this isn't a real thing you can control, I would be like, okay, hold up. I just got chased by weird floaty witch bitches. Then my mom touched a picture on my shirt and I grew wings and flew away and I blacked out and woke up in the middle of a blizzard to a talking monkey. Can we take just a second and let me just process a little bit of what the fuck's going on? No, we got to go right now.
Well, I mean, it's like not even,
yeah,
I don't know,
you now.
I don't understand how he couldn't wrap his mind around a little bit of magic, considering he did magic on a daily.
Okay, he took magic in stride. He was like, hey, we're good. Now my smoking jacket flies, and there's talking monkeys.
I hate when the talking monkeys come out.
Yeah.
I mean, he take it all. I mean, yeah, I would probably take a couple seconds, but I mean, there's not going to be a situation. Doesn't matter how pressing the task I am currently have at hand. If a talking monkey comes up and says, you have to come with me right now, I'm going with the monkey.
100%.
Almost any talking animal. If it comes up to me, you have to come with me right now. It doesn't have to be a primate.
Yeah, I would abandon my entire family.
Taekwondo monkeys.
Yeah. There's things that I don't understand.
You know, talking hedgehog comes up. Hey, come with me. I'm like, all right, Sonic, I'm with you, bud. Whatever. You know, we're gonna take this to the end. I'm gonna see this through.
You right? Drop some of them gold coins. What's going on?
Those are rings. They're gold rings.
Golden ring. So yeah, but wasn't that earlier his mom's story when, you know, during that 2 minutes where she had life in her, she was talking about a monkey leading through the blizzard to get to the beetle cave or something. I'm like, oh, it's all playing out. So it's like that Big Fish movie where you think it's all just stories.
Well, they're kind of hinting though that she comes alive at night because she's from the night, which you'll find out later.
We'll find out. Yeah.
But well, yeah. You kind of already get a hint that there's something special about her, especially when it comes to nighttime. That's all I want to.
Right. That's the only time she has any animation in her, in an animated movie. So, he decides to hop on and ride the monkey, and that's not a heroin reference. He just goes right for this monkey. And I do like, she's like, you're gonna complain about the smell, but just remember that I smell 10 times stronger than you, or like
my sense of
my
smell.
Scent receptors.
My sense of smell. She also probably smells 10 times stronger than you because she's a monkey.
Yes. My sense of smell is 10 times worse than yours. So anything you bitch about, I'm getting it a lot worse. Now shut up. And then you cut, and there's just a whale in the middle of this blizzard hanging there like a tauntaun that Luke Skywalker's got to hide in. And they take refuge inside this whale.
It seems to be mostly frozen, so I imagine the smell wouldn't be that terrible.
Yeah, but how far away from water are they, and how did this whale get
and
that?
And then
beach?
They light a fire.
I think they're on frozen water, aren't they?
They do light a fire inside of this whale and cook parts of it. Which, how long has it been laying there? How decomposed is it?
I mean,
at least
you're
cooking it.
If it died in the wintertime before the freeze, it's staying cold.
Fire with enough heat.
It's frozen. Listen, I'm gonna eat a whale. I'll eat a whale from
inside. But I'm not going to eat one that I find in the middle of a blizzard. Like, again, how did this get this far away from the ocean?
Well, we don't know how far away the ocean is. Snow doesn't mean it's far away.
I was kind of wanting to eat a sea mammal, you know? I've eaten a lot of fish, but never a sea mammal. Like, when I see a manatee, I'm like, come here, you delicious fucker. I bet there's a sweet ribeye.
Yes, but one that's just been laying out in the open, and then you're just like, well, let's cut it open and just throw it in some water and hope it hasn't been sitting here for months.
Maybe it's froze. Maybe it froze immediately. The cold killed it. That'd be all right.
It just Walt Disney'd itself.
I got meat in the freezer.
You've never had
anyway, a whale. We all eat our whales in different ways.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dolphin steaks?
Yeah.
No, I've not. I'm pretty sure it's illegal to eat almost every sea mammal except for some
octopus.
Whales. And even that's
I'm pretty
only
sure it's illegal
countries.
To eat whale. Except in some parts of Japan, I think.
Yeah, I think there's some countries where you can go eat it. But yeah, for the most part, I think sea mammals are off
unless
limits.
It's in the
a lot of things are off limits.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of land mammals.
It'll be illegal if you
limits.
Get cut.
Oh, no. Jeffrey and Ted. Well.
Yeah, no, that never stopped Jeffrey. So they do. They hide in this whale and start eating it from the inside. It's like your mother used the last of her magic to save you. And find out, you know, this is the monkey charm she insisted that he always have on him. She used the magic to bring the monkey charm to life and look after him. So now the monkey charm is in charge of keeping him alive. It's like, if you don't eat, you'll be weak. If you're weak, then you'll be slow. If you're slow, you will die. So eat this fucking stew of whale guts.
It's a mean monkey. Like, yeah. And she's like, you only get 3 questions. He's like, why only 3? He's like, that counts as 1.
Yeah. But wait. I don't understand. Who are you? That's 2.
2. Yeah.
I'm just supposed to eat this? There's your 3rd one. Now shut up. So the ants, I don't know if I say like that. The ants don't eat or sleep. The ants, they will search for you nonstop. They don't have to take fucking breaks. They don't need food. They will be 24/7 looking for that other
eyeball.
They are
the ring
race. So you better get some.
No need to rest, yes. No need to break, no need to eat, no need to sleep.
And a bunch of hobbits outsmarted those motherfuckers for like 8 hours of movie, so yeah. We'll be fine.
We just got an hour and a half to cover.
We have to find the armor to stop them. He finds a piece of his mom's hair on the beetle robe, And so the monkey takes it and makes a nice little bracelet. It's like, there, now it's a keepsake to keep your mom with you for all time. Now go the fuck to sleep. Just like the favorite kid's book.
Go the fuck to sleep.
Go the fuck to sleep. It's a great book. So now, while in his sleep, he was start sleep talking, and so paper came out of his backpack and formed Hanzo, this little samurai toy he had before, who's like, we're going this way, and leads him out the whale. And I'm be like, don't really need a magical origami samurai to tell me how to get out of this whale carcass. There are only two ways, and I'm only going through one of them.
I do think that my favorite character in this film was the origami Hanzo.
Mm-hmm. I did communicate a good amount of sass and sarcasm without a single line of dialogue. And for being made out of paper. Kind of impressive. So he's got... they're like, how do we find the armor? And this thing just keeps pointing. And he even tries to move it, and it keeps turning itself back to always point in the same direction. It's like, I guess we got a magical armor compass right here. We're going that way. And then we get, you know, quick little fun bird play. They see a bird flying, and he's like, oh, I'm going to have fun because I'm a kid. And he, like, makes all the paper come to life into birds and chase this bird around. And
that bird is horrified. This is the worst day of that bird's life.
Bird's like, what the fuck?
He's like, I finally get some time to myself. All of a sudden, there's a freaking 1,000 android birds or some shit out there.
Drones.
Like, goddamn.
Let's call them what they are.
It's on, you know?
Yeah. No, and see, this is why Manny should have been on this episode, because he's part of the Birds Aren't Real Club.
And then he sends one bird.
And these aren't.
Literally up the monkey's
right up
asshole,
the monkey's back door.
Which I was like, is this still a kid's movie? You were just like, what if Alfred Hitchcock like, made a porn? Is what you just did.
Right.
Yeah. And so then he's like, oh, it must be mosquitoes. And then just because he mentioned it and happened to think it, some of the birds turned themselves into mosquitoes and again anally penetrated this poor monkey. And then he's like, I didn't mean to, at least not intentionally. I don't know how magic works.
You've been bopped inside the head with a monkey turd. You better cut that shit out.
No, because I look for the signs.
So, monkey's like, all right, look, you have magic in you, but you need to learn control because the stronger you get, the harder the world is going to be. It's called balance. Don't you ever say anything encourage? Yeah, I encourage you not to die.
I like how she, with one line, explained how video games work.
Right.
You have to be careful, because as you get stronger, the world gets more dangerous. It's a balance. Like, Final Fantasy just made way more sense.
Video game. Right. I just like how he keeps mocking. Every time the monkey like says something and walks off.
Which I think the voice of Kubo is like the same dude that played Rickon Stark. In Lord of the Rings, but in Game of Thrones.
Is it?
Just so you know, yeah. I think two of the leads in these like studio movies were guys that were also in Game of Thrones.
Oh.
Not in this, but like one in another movie. I can't remember what the other one is. But I think one played Bran. And then
that's weird because he's not Japanese at all.
Well, neither is Charlize Theron, who voices
Matthew
the monkey.
Or Matthew McConaughey,
so.
Who voices the Beetle.
What?
Yep. Charlize Theron's African.
Well.
She
is from Africa. I mean, I don't know how much more African
Africa
you can
light.
Get. Thanks, apartheid. So we also get a great line, don't mess with the monkey. And I'm like, yeah, tell that to a teenage boy.
Right.
He's got
40-year-old.
I get it.
He's got a lot of questions and emotions and feelings running through his body right now. He's not listening to that.
He is messing with that monkey.
I don't know when the urge to stop playing with your wiener stops, but I know it's not 45.
This is very insightful. I should write a book.
So suddenly he's grabbed and taken down into this cave, and the monk is like, oh, fuck, Kubo, literally my one point of existence, and follows down there. But it's okay, this weird, creepy beetle thing isn't trying to hurt me, it just wants Hanzo. And the beetle's like, yeah, I just saw Hanzo, and I don't remember a damn thing, but I remember Hanzo, I think he was my master, so I need, you know, this is my master, and I love him, and the beetle is Matthew McConaughey. And he's like, also, this kid has the Beatles crest, and I recognize that because I have it here. And he has this massive flag with the same Beatle emblem on it. And I just love that now we have Beatles and monkeys.
Right.
60s pop bands. Beatles
so
and monkeys,
I do,
right?
I do have a question, beautiful, though. And beautiful. I've been waiting for this moment in the recap to pose this.
For this movie that you'd never seen before.
No, in the recording of the podcast. Until now. Matthew McConaughey as the voice of the Beatle Samurai. How do we feel about that?
Correct.
Don't like it.
I thought it was fucking awful. Like, it was the only thing about the movie that I didn't like, and it was unfortunate that it was a third of the cast. But it was, I don't know what about it.
Yeah.
Like, I like Matthew McConaughey. He does good in a lot of stuff. But something about his voice in that character and the way he voiced it, I thought it was awful.
Because I don't think he tried to voice a character. Matthew McConaughey reading a script, you know?
I'm not mad at it. I like Matthew McConaughey.
I love Matthew McConaughey, but yeah, there's a time to play. And they probably could have gone for a lot of these actors to, you know, either actual voice actors, because why the fuck does everybody have to be somebody? Like, voice acting is just as much of a fucking skill as actual acting. So get professional fucking voice actors, for fuck's sake. Now an entire trade is losing because Chris Pratt needs more fucking work. At least Chris Pratt's not in this.
I will say I did appreciate that he held back somehow a little bit of the typical McConaughey Texan in his voice.
Yeah, he didn't quite have his full Texan, like,
for sure. But there was something about it that was
it put
this one character in the movie in like this weird uncanny valley for me, where I was like, this looks like a bad dub job. Everything else was great.
And there was even some blonde on it. Like, you see only a bit of, like, it's a full-on beetle, but it has a human face. And, like, they couldn't decide how to animate the face, because it was, like, kind of...
people.
Black facial hair, but blue pupils and, like, a bit of blonde kind of at the top. Like, it used to have blonde hair or something. And I was like, well, I don't know that that's ever been a part of samurai culture.
I think McConaughey did a good job. I kind of agree. That, you know, you could add voice actors or had, you know, it feels a lot
or
like whitewashing
actors.
Or Japanese actors for it. But I also understand how by having Matthew McConaughey and Charlize Theron on the poster that could bring in more interest from people.
Sure.
I mean, that's
the that's big why part you of it, get yeah. names and not voice actors for sure. Yeah.
It just made it feel weird.
Yeah,
like
every time
his character talked, I was like, ugh.
Yeah, he was like more cartoony as opposed to, like, I feel that this, I mean, it is a kid's cartoon, but it's more serious, it's more stoic, it's a bit more grown up for a kid's cartoon, and he was kind of playing it like a kid's cartoon, whereas everybody else in the movie isn't, other than, you know, the bird
yeah,
up
it's
the
like,
butt.
So, like,
other than
Core
that,
line,
it's a
Core
pretty
line,
serious...
Right? Same production company, same, like, heavy, weighty... dialogue and parallels of the story and messages. And then now if you would have had like Mike Myers voice the dad in Coraline, right, you would have been like, something about that's just weird.
Yeah,
like that's
maybe. But I also like how, I mean, who, especially when we find out who he is and stuff, like, this is one of the legendary warriors of our time, but he still has a friendly, approachable voice. Like, I am a dad. Like, and I think that that's part of that.
What made it better
was, like, you could have had somebody that sounds like a hard ass the whole time, but
now,
I think that,
have been cool
that made
if,
it more approachable.
If we would have had more of him after the ending to see if he did something different. So when he's like, I don't know, I'm a beetle and I have the memory of a goldfish. I don't even know what I'm going to. You know, and then once it all comes clear, then we get him actually doing something and being that could have been something cool.
Switch his voice to more of a rain of fire.
Arc the character.
Well, a palate cleanser.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, you got the he's cursed to be a beetle because he used to be a soldier, has the same flag as the thing on the kid's jacket, whatever.
So I think your dad was my master.
Yes, we find out, well, Hanzo was my dad. Monkey didn't want Kubo to say that, but he does, and Beetle's like, okay, well, I'm pledging my life to you forever. You're the son of my master, so now you're my master. Anything I can do, I will do for you. And Bryan Adams goes, that you owe me $100. That's my song, you motherfucker.
I do like how he's like, oh, I'm either a samurai or
a really bad hoarder. Yes, that exact note here. Or a really bad hoarder. And so, yeah, Monkey's even like, what can you even do? And he's like, pulls out a bow and shoots an arrow. And she's like, oh yeah, shooting an arrow at a wall, that's really impressive. And then he fires off like four more in rapid succession. They all hit the exact same point and split the other arrows. And
which I thought was a, really cool use of the character, because he's a beetle, right? So he's got like that, one of his sets of legs is legs, and then the other two sets of legs are arms. So he's four arms. He's like Goro.
So he's kind of Goro.
But he's shooting these arrows, and he's like, as he's drawing with one set of arms, he's using the other ones to grab another arrow. So it's like this semi-automatic archery, which I was like, that's actually really cool. Like,
that is cool. And we know magic exists, so the fact that he has a Rambo supply of ammunition and one quiver of arrows, you just don't even quite, sure, he's got magic arrows. Let's go with it.
Which he said, well, that's pretty impressive or whatever. And he's like, literally the first time I've ever done that.
And so join us, but we're going to walk and talk to catch you up. We're not going to sit around and tell you the whole story. We got to go. So now little paper samurai Hanzo leads them back to the cave entrance, or leads them to out of this cave to another cave entrance that's shaped like a skull. Like, well, that.
Yeah, it's where King Kong will.
Obviously. That's Castle Grayskull.
Skeletor hangs out in that motherfucker. That's what this is. And so inside, the sword Unbreakable has to be in this side. Every time they kept saying Unbreakable, I was thinking that fucking show, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Anybody ever watch that? The theme song, Unbreakable. Unbreakable. They just keep singing the word Unbreakable through the whole theme song. So
I think of the movie with Bruce Willis.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where they sing the same song.
It was weird for Bruce Willis to sing Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt years before the show started.
He's ahead of his time, always has been.
So as they go in,
it's a spinoff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're right. I forgot about that. M. Night Shyamalan produces Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. What a twist. So it collapses all around him. And of course, inside the sword, Unbreakable is there inside of this hand, just this giant skeletal bone hand. And
that's what I called my left is my bone hand.
We learn more about you every
put it
time.
In my bone hand.
Yep.
I'm right handed. Like a stranger.
Left hand that way.
Yeah, we'll switch hitter action. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when they put the mouse was always on the right, so I just got accustomed to it. Christ.
Internet porn. So, Beetle runs right up because the other two have the sense like, okay, it's a skull entrance that collapsed as soon as we went through. Now there's a hand with the sword in the middle of it. Yep. I've seen Indiana Jones. You don't just willy-nilly run up and start yanking on shit. But the Beetle's like,
skeletal hand.
And
I mean,
yes, like all three of them could have stood
could
in the palm
hear
of
in the
this
background
thing.
If you were listening very closely. Do, 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 do. But nobody was listening closely.
No, you could not. That's just playing in your head all the time.
Your phone was ringing.
Do you have actual real life diegetic Indiana theme music? Indiana Jones theme music?
Yeah, that's her phone. Anyway, she's queuing it up right now. So the Beetle just runs up and yanks the sword out. It's like, yeah, I got it, of course.
If I had a nickel for every time I just ran up and yanked the sword out. Like, it's...
Yeah,
you'd be in jail a lot more, that's for sure. So
it's not going to pay my bail. Nickel won't do it.
Going back to video games, once you do something to activate something, all of a sudden this hand starts floating up into the air. This dark and cavernous room lights up. It's like, oh, what the fuck is happening here? And we get the biggest stop motion puppet ever made. 18
feet
tall.
Wait, is that a real statistic?
This thing.
Holy shit.
Yes. They built an 18 foot tall skeleton stop motion statue to film this
scene.
So
to put that into perspective, do we know how big the characters' puppets were?
No. Well,
and
no,
that's what
know.
Made me think about it, because then like when the skeleton had them in their hands, I'm like, so if that's 18 feet tall, this is how big they are in their hands. So I'm guessing that the characters are probably like 2 feet tall, like somewhere around there, like by the size of the
normal size.
Because when it was holding the beetle and the monkey, they would have been the size of whatever an 18 foot tall skeleton's hands are.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, I guess let's all go down to Home Depot at Halloween time.
And I'm roughly one of those 18 6 feet tall, and I know that this is 11 inches, right?
Uh huh. Sure.
Your hand.
Yeah.
That way.
You must take the worst dick pics.
There, yeah. Sure. We're following your delusion. Fine.
No. So it's so the skeleton puppet was like three times the size of a roughly the size of a human, right? So.
Yes.
Are the regular puppets like a foot tall, a foot and a half tall? I'm just curious.
That's like my guess is they're about 18 inches to, you know.
Going through the trivia and actual people posted that, not our favorite character trivia guy, because it was actually helpful and informative. but it's the largest not stop motion puppet to be built standing at 18 feet tall. That's all it says. Kubo himself had over 48 million possible facial expressions and a total of 23,187 prototype faces were created just Kubo for Kubo
himself
alone.
Is a mere 9-inch puppet.
Oh,
not for these.
I would have guessed
little
about twice that.
Little Hanzo was 2 inches tall, and the giant skeleton was towering at 16 feet in height.
Well, but Kubo is also probably half the size of a beetle.
Right.
So, that would make him 2 foot tall or something like that.
And I don't know if we all watch this on DVD or streaming, but on the DVD, at least, you know, the credits, we get beautiful animated credits with a great song that we'll get to also. But after that all plays out, once the song ends, the kind of music video style of credits ends and it goes to basic credits, but you get to see the guys working as sort of like a sped up video. You know, whatever that term is when they film something for a long time and then time lapse of them doing this scene. So you get to see the guys like in there moving stuff around and taking pictures for the scene. And this fucking thing is towering over everybody.
Watch that.
The guys actually in there doing the stop motion work.
I'll try to post that when this episode releases.
Reason I like physical media, because the DVD I have a shitload of special features. It's very interesting and cool to watch. So anyway, we're fighting this giant skeleton. This fucking scene, this whole goddamn scene is great. Beetle finds out he can fly.
I love that part.
So the sword they pulled out, they go to attack the skeleton and immediately shatters. And like, well, I guess that wasn't sword unbreakable then. And all the rest of these swords, the skeleton has what looks like Tobias Funke hair plugs, but there are like a bunch of swords in his head. And so like, we got to get up there, I guess. So the beetle flies him up and they land on the head and Monkey immediately gets grabbed and
just like big battle.
And just like high school, grabbing the monkey. And Beetle keeps shooting arrows and it's not doing anything because this is just bones. It's just bones. And apparently this skeleton, when it was a flesh and bone, drink a lot of milk because these are some strong bones.
Yeah, I mean, if you get hit with an arrow in your bone, it is gonna fuck.
Yeah,
the bone
but not
up
if you're 18 feet
but not
tall.
If the arrow is. Yeah, you're 18 feet tall, and this is a regular sized arrow that ain't doing jack shit.
Might as well throw a toothpick
probably
at it.
Not, I guess. Oh, you're drinking that giant cow milk.
Yeah, how big was the fucking cow? My God.
At least six.
Monkey's about to get eaten, which, if a skeleton eats you, it doesn't have any guts. There's no digestive system. You're just going to slowly bounce your way down
if
like Plinko and end up back on the ground.
It still has teeth. It can still chew you up.
That's true.
Fucking smile bones.
Cheek bones?
Smile bones.
What? Is that what?
I'll give you a smile bone.
I remember the whole jaw bones connected to the song, but I don't remember smile bones
being mandibles?
There anyway.
Your smile bones.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like a horror movie reference. Like, yeah, I collect their smile bones.
All right, so that you know, I like that. As you know, now we've got a beetle in one hand and his monkey in the other, and then the skeleton's just like, "Oh my god, this is a great time." Kubo is running around, so obviously he's small enough that the head of this skeleton is—it's like a playground. Like he's got room to run around up there, and he's just yanking all these swords out and smashing them. He's like, "Not it, not it, not it." Whole lot of ducks before he finally gets the goose.
I just want to know if they're so easy to smash. Why didn't they break as he was pulling them out of his head?
Well, it's one thing to pull it out of the hilt, but you got to actually like hit it against something.
Strong pull-out game.
I guess there's my answer.
Kids movie. So,
when he finally gets to the right sword.
Kids movie, but probably not a kid's audience that we're talking to. So no, I think we're all
right. He finally finds the right sword, and pulling it out causes the head to stop.
Always. Every time. That's my biggest complaint.
Always does.
Like, if I pull out, that doesn't mean I want the head to stop every time. Sometimes it's just like
so
a break.
I'm so confused as far as anatomy. What is going on?
Right. We just pulled the sword out of the head. And the head stopped. And then everything just deflated and fell to the ground.
We ain't trying to... I mean, I'm just pulling it off for a second. We're just trying to slow this down. I ain't trying to nut you.
Got it.
And then as everything's crumbling, the beetle just grabs him and flies them all out of there. And they land, and then, you know, he's like, you two are going to fight now. And they start arguing, and he's like, oh my God. And he's just like a kid between two parents, you know. He's like, you guys stop fighting. And they're like, go over there and... Earmuffs.
So I have a theory about this movie, and towards the end, so I actually watched this movie a second time, well, half of a second time, but when I watched it the second time and I got to this scene, based on my theory towards the end of the movie, I was like, oh, that makes this scene way more sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. But we'll have to get there because we don't want to ruin it for the listeners who are listening to this episode,
which is so dumb. Again, we spoil the shit out of every movie. Go watch the movie.
Yeah, well,
our spoiled listeners,
you know. And he's like, hey, listen here, Princess Monkey, this is Long Lake, there's no way around it, we have to go across, and I'm the only one that can fly and I can carry both of you, so why don't you just shut up and let me be a man beetle and fly your bitch asses across this lake. And she's like, no, I don't need you. I was brought to life with one purpose and one purpose only, and that's to protect Kubo, and that's all I care about. And they're having this whole fight. And meanwhile, Kubo's over there noodling and makes all these leaves and branches and everything come together and makes this massive
way
shit.
Larger than necessary.
Yeah, he realizes, like, as he's playing or whatever, that the leaves, that he can control the leaves as well as the paper. And they make the ship, which it should also be pointed out that this ship was meticulously made by, like, 250,000 leaves, like, handmade by the
sweet, sweet music.
And, like, the whole ocean scene took, like, 18 months to film.
Yeah, 18 or 19 months to film this whole scene.
Insane.
That's
freaking
insane.
Can you imagine?
Like, the amount of patience that these people had. Isn't again, because you don't think about it until something finally, like, there's a break in the action of the movie a bit, and then they'll do some amazing scene of these leaves coming together and forming a ship, and you're like, no, this has to actually exist. They have to actually make this
frame by
and
frame,
manipulate
by
it
frame
by frame. It's insane how good this is. Yeah, fuck. So now they're just cruising along, man. And Beetle's like teaching them to shoot an arrow. And then Monkey's like, why don't you tie a fucking rope to that so that we can actually, I don't know, retrieve the fish after you shoot it. Oh, that's a great idea. And so then they're eating this food. Monkey uses Sword Unbreakable to chop the fish up into sushi.
And then we have what is probably the most disgusting animated scene that I have ever seen.
No. Why?
When they're eating the fish and Kubo laughs and is talking and you see like the bits of fish fall out of his mouth, but they're like, there's something weird and like gross and slimy about it. I don't know if it's because it's stop motion or something, but when I was watching it the first time that happened, I was like,
We're learning
anyway,
a lot about Dan.
We get our opening line about
his preferences.
Eating between a monkey and a beetle. And then a nice sweet moment. It's like, I used to tell stories to my mom, but I don't really do much of anything because I can't go out at night and all I do is take care of my comatose mother. And they're like, no, that does make you a hero. You're keeping her alive and you're, you know, that you need to see that what you're doing does make you a hero. You don't need to like have epic adventures. And all of a sudden a storm rolls in and Monkey's like, fuck, we need to actually like sail faster and get to shore before this storm comes in. And Hanzo's pointing down in the water, like, fuck, I guess our breastplate's down there. We better.
And then
dive. I guess we're going to go through the storm.
Fish coming out of nowhere. Wait, Different movie.
They're trying to motorboat them.
Matthew McConaughey's like, all right, I'm good at swimming. And then they're like, but wait, you can't go down there. There's things down there. My mom used to tell me about eyeballs in the deep that would steal your soul if you looked them in the balls.
It looked him in the eye. Yeah. And he goes, well, then I won't. Don't look anybody in the eyes. Got it. Beetles are great at swimming. Are they? I have no idea. I'm going.
Balls to the walls.
So, yeah. The rain starts coming in, and he just goes for it. So we're back to the blizzard, the monkey blizzard with the whale. The sisters find a piece of robe that got torn off. Like the battle with the skeleton, it like pinned him against a wall at one point, and it tore his robe a bit. So they find this piece of robe, and they're like, oh, he's looking for the armor. Which I don't understand,
because how did it end up outside? Oh, that's right.
Well, the whole thing collapsed. But you figured that would be collapsed inside the fallen thing, but no. Yeah, but the beetle's underwater. Kubo dives in after him, and Monkey goes to jump in also, just because of Kubo, but gets snagged by the sisters, or one sister. Because then she starts fighting, and we get a hell of a fight
scene. Above, all you hear see is like flashes of light, but...
Yeah, and they're like, so the full storm, it's in full swing, the leaf boat slowly like being blown to pieces a bit. Kubo does find the breastplate down at the bottom of this lake, but then of course here comes...
Swims right into it.
Yeah, just moves a bit of kelp, and holy crap, there it is. And then here comes the giant eyeball, and it grabs him. Or it doesn't grab him, but locks eyes.
I
want to
know what magic glue he used for that boat.
I hit just magic.
It says magic. Magic.
So when, once the eyeball sees him and like has him under the spell and he's entranced and hypnotized, that's when the boat starts falling apart because he can't focus on his magic anymore.
Yeah, broke concentration.
And everything starts falling apart.
And that's when Monkey's like, Kubo, because she knows that something's wrong because it's not holding it together anymore.
And this fight scene, even if it wasn't in stop motion animation, this is an awesome fight scene. But the fact that it is even better. Monkey fighting this fucking sister who's got a goddamn, who's a girl from Kill Bill with a fucking spiky ball on the end of a chain.
Yeah, I can't remember her name, but yeah, I know who you're, but yeah, but it's like almost like a gripper thing. Like it's not even like a spiky ball, like grips you, it grabs you when it gets you.
Yes. So sister's just chucking that around and Monkey's got the sword unbreakable and it's a hell of a fight. Beetle comes back at one point, to save Monkey. And then, oh yeah, Kubo. Okay, got it. And dives right back in to get Kubo, who's about to be drawn into what I can only assume is the lake's anus.
Yep, yep.
Lake anus, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it's like moving him down slowly, and there's just this pulsating, gaping hole. Just,
I mean, I guess it could be the mouth.
It looks like there's a lot of teeth, so I'm going with the mouth. But for you, Anthony, it's an anus.
He's the one that said anus,
no, to be clear. It's anus. Jesus. Hashtag anus.
You
Anthony.
Said it.
Hey, whatever. Anus, I'm gonna get. Anthony. I don't care if it's anus, mouth. I'm gonna get in it. You know, I'm being there. You see how wet I got it? That lake anus.
Oh no!
I worked hard on that. I worked hard on it.
Literally drowning in it. So an eyeball, as the eyeball staring at Kubo, it keeps saying "mother, mother, mother," and we get the monkey charm, the monkey, and then his mother. And it's like, oh, holy shit, monkey is mom. Mom is monkey.
Finkel is Einhorn.
Yeah. Finkel is Einhorn. There we go. Thank you. Cut back to monkey fighting with the sister. And the sister's like, love made our sister weak. And the monkey goes, no, it made me stronger. And big old slash across the fucking bitch ass sister's face. And we're like, okay, so monkey just confirmed she is the mother. Got it. The sea eyes set it up. She spiked it. Right.
Sea eyes. It's a lake, bro. It's
fresh water. Lake eyes.
Freshwater eyes.
Freshwater eyes.
These eyes.
These eyes have seen a lot of boys, but they're the boys at the pole down in Lake Anus.
Nailed it. That's it.
So we have a moment where we think he's dead, even though everybody knows he's not because we've seen movies before. You're like, oh no, Kubo's totally dead again. And not a single, no beetle or monkey wants to try CPR to save this kid. They're just going to go, oh no. And then all of a sudden the ship starts slowly rebuilding itself. You're like, ah, he's back.
It sounded very Yoda.
Because his...
oh. He's back.
Back he is.
Back we are. Because the Leaf ship reforms itself, and he's like, hey, monkey, you're my mom, and everybody's happy. Yay, I've got a monkey for a mother. My mother's a monkey.
Old monkey mom.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of monkeys have monkey mothers. I would say 100% of them.
Almost. I mean, I guess technically we're primates, too, so we kind of all have monkey moms.
Yeah, goddamn right.
That's the great unifier of this movie.
Yeah,
everybody's so we can got relate monkey moms. To it.
That's right.
So now we've got two of the three pieces. We've got, because he did put the breastplate on before he got his soul stared at. So now we got the sword and the armor.
Seems so intrusive when you say it that way.
And I like the Beatles sitting there as we're, okay, I'm your mom. Why didn't you say it? Well, because I'm just supposed to protect you, and I didn't want to make it weird.
If you were riding and me like through the just snowstorm, you'd be like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, that would have been pretty weird, the way you just jumped on my back and sent a bird up my ass. That'd be a bit weird. I like the Beatles trying to piece it together, looking at the monkey, then at Kubo, and then the monkey, and then at Kubo. So you must look more like your father, huh? That's kind of funny. So anyway, monkey tells a whole story. Now that she's not a sickly mother in a cave, she can remember everything. Her memory blocker is gone. So she worked with the sisters for the Moon King, you know, as assassins. And they were sent to kill Hanzo. But she got there first and started battle with Hanzo. And as they were fighting, it slowly turned into fight fucking. And they were like, oh, I like this. You got me. And he said the four words that just made me sploosh. And Beetle's like, I love you.
Be my
monkey?
Good girl.
Sploosh.
There it is. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'll be back in a few minutes.
So he said, you are my quest.
Oh.
Which is a pretty sploosh worthy.
Was it you are my quest or was it you are the quest?
You are my quest.
But yeah, because he was, they sent, the Moon King sent them to kill him because he was going to be too powerful if he got the
armor.
The
armor,
the sword.
So that was him saying, like, I'll abandon the search.
He's like, I don't give a shit about any of that stuff. I came here for you, girl, and that ass.
You are my quest. And she's like, and then they had Kubo.
And that's fair.
Pull that monkey out.
I would too.
Yeah. So then Grandpa was like, dude, what the fuck? You are my own daughter. And you betrayed me just because he said four little words? They were some
good
Did
you hear those
words
together? Let me tell
you. And did you see the way he handled his sword?
But you imagine being such a great warrior that you're like, you know what bore me? Earth girls. Earth girls are easy.
Earth girls are easy.
I need the offspring of gods, you know, the Moon King. That's who I'm going to hit. I'm going to nail down one of them girls.
That's right.
Like,
so Hanzo and his army gave their lives so that I could escape with you, Kubo. And now your grandpa wants you to be blind to all of humanity so that you will sit next to him and use your magic to help him. And Kubo was like, oh, Jesus Christ. So he passes out, and then Monkey's talking to Beetle's like, I didn't tell him I was fucking mom because my magic is fading. And I already died on him once, and I'm going to be dying again pretty soon. I didn't want to put him through that a second fucking time, Beetle. Well, I'm always going to look out for him. He's the son of my master. I will give my life for him. And Monkey's like, okay, well, at least when I die, you may be stupid, but at least you're loyal. So Kubo's dreaming, and there's an old man playing the shamashan.
Yep, Sarah Sossman.
Sarah Silverman?
Yep.
Sam Rockwell? Samurai Samosas.
Superville.
Yeah. He's able to control paper, and it forms this fortress, and inside the fortress we see the helmet, and, you know, follow the setting sun, you'll find it. So he wakes up the others, and he's like, all right, I saw it in a dream. We're going. Which I guess you could just say head
very
west.
Jack Sparrow. I don't think I want to go.
Right? But they head off. And they travel. We see some herons, you know, gold herons.
I wish I could convince my wife to just every time I had a dream, like, okay, this is what we got to do.
We got to just head west until we find a fortress.
It's usually not west. It usually involves some other girl also. It's a dream.
We literally have to do it.
Yes, it was foretold.
If it goes both ways, then I don't see a problem.
Oh, yeah. She wakes up half the time just being like, It's I may be in the dream, but I ain't freaking the one doing the work.
So you were somewhere the fuck else.
Yeah.
I mean,
so as they travel, we see the golden herons, and apparently golden herons carry souls to the afterlife and all this afterlife talk and a bunch of bullshit. And then we get to the fortress.
Yada yada.
And the whole fortress is just a wreck. Just an absolute wreck. Everything's torn up. You can tell a major battle. This is the chapel after the fucking deadly vipers attacked the bride. Just a mess up in there. But there's a mural of him and his parents that's still up. I was like, oh, that's kind of sweet. And then they like go into another room and there's the giant skeleton painted on the wall. I was like, oh. And then the eye creatures. Oh, this is a creepy room. No, this is my father's study. This is where he was preparing for the quest. This is his diary with all the fucking grail clues in it. He just painted them on the wall for some reason.
Because the walls were paper, because feudal Japan.
So that makes... Yeah, my building is my diary. It's all paper, anyway. So they're walking along, and Beetle finally goes, why would the helmet be here? Seems like wouldn't be part of a quest if it's already where you live, right? That didn't really track. And then Monkey sees a scroll that actually shows where the helmet is. Like, ah, oh, fuck! And then here comes the other sister. Damn sisters! I always forget it's plural. That means there's another one of you somewhere.
We killed Ashley on the boat, but here comes Mary Kate.
Yep. And McConaughey's like, you are not going to Heath Ledger me, bitch.
I will not be Heath Ledgered on this
day. I'm not dying of an Olsen dose.
Witch.
So the sister calls him out. It's like, you've all been together all this time and you still haven't realized it? You fucking idiots. You fucking idiots. Sorry, Moose should have told you. The Beetle is Hanzo. Wait.
What?
Yeah, he's Hanzo. We wiped his memory and fucking turned him into a beetle because that's his emblem or whatever and just fucking threw him out in the middle of nowhere. The reason he can never remember anything is because we wiped his brain clean. Oh, shit. So then we get another giant monkey battle where it's fighting the other sister. And they're just about to get killed. And Beetle finds a whole bunch of Hanzo's swords. Not the sword Unbreakable, but just, a bunch of samurai swords.
Sword like
with his multiple arms that just...
Yeah.
And just starts hucking a bunch of swords at the sister and just runs her through.
I hate when you run a sister through.
I also love that the sister's magic comes from a pipe. Like, been there, sister. You know what I'm saying? But...
Oh yeah, don't they brain her with it at one point? Yeah. And so the Beatles like, oh, apparently I'm Hanzo, and so you're my son, not son of my master, and I'm gonna keep you safe forever. And then sister apparently wasn't dead because she just ran the beetle through. And goes to kill the monkey with Kubo picks up the magic instrument. Does another Pete Townsend power chord. Giant blue flash. Like, breaks the three strings. Huge flash.
Yeah. Played the sriracha to its max.
The sriracha.
Yes, played that sriracha to its max. And then we just see him staring at the wreckage. The monkey is a charm again, but it's broken in half. Beetle is just gone. Paper Hanzo is all flattened and stomped out, but still is able to, go and wriggle and point at the scroll. And so he picks up the scroll and sees the true location of the helmet. Picks up one of his dad's hairs, makes another bracelet, does the thing where his robe turns into wings and flies away. That's right. When he had to have the beetle fly him up on top of the skeleton, you fly, bruh. That's how you got to the monkey blizzard in the first place. Forget all about your own. And now he's just like, oh, I can fly. And he just like Neo's at the end of the Matrix and just gets the fuck out of there. I believe I can piss on a miner. So And don't look confused. We all know that that's R. Kelly's thing.
What? No.
Oh no. Minor with an
O. Oh, yeah, makes sense. Just... I was thinking like dwarves or something.
So we get.
Yeah. No. Not I better.
That's what he said.
Golden Charles, I go.
I ho.
Yeah.
Shit.
So he gets back to town, and it's the old bell, that bell that rang every night when he knew he had to get back home. It wasn't actually a bell. That's the helmet. It's been there the whole time. So he like hits the little brace holding it up in the air, and it falls to the ground, and the townspeople kind of peek out, and they're like, Kubo, are you back? What the fuck
are you
gonna
finally finish your story?
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah, he's just gonna, and then all of a sudden attack again. They're like, "Oh, get the hell out of here!" He yells out, "All right, Grandpa, I'm right here. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? What was that? I know what you did last summer. Where they stand in the street screaming, "What are you waiting for?" Or maybe a scream. I don't know. Anyway,
I don't know.
What are you waiting for? So the old man appears. Of course, it's the old man from the dream who gave him false information and sent him to his dad's dojo in the first place. And it's like, I only want to take your other eye because it's going to free you to join me in the heavens.
Creepy much?
Right? Yeah, you can join me where I am. You don't have to worry about evil or the hate that people have. We'll be in the afterlife. There isn't any of this, baby. Just let me fucking kill you, bud.
It seemed killer. Just take his
eyeball.
I don't
want to hurt you. Yeah, I just want to kill you.
Yeah, we all float down here, Kubo.
See? You see why I hate that.
Yeah, basically, let me take you to the afterlife, bud. And Kubo was like, no, fuck you, motherfucker. Let's do this. And he's got all three pieces of armor.
Fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. He's basically Mega Man at the end of every Mega Man game. When you've got all the things.
All the things.
Full and we're ready bar. To go. Yeah. So Grandpa turns into that flying monster thing at the first Avengers movie.
Yep.
A Leviathan.
And
he is one of those things. Like it is
starts chasing Kubo around, and Kubo's slashing the crap out of him with his magic sword. And it's, I mean, every time Grandpa's like, "Oh, ah, my fingies," but it's not really doing much.
Yeah, no.
And
I'm around the digis.
Yeah. So this is another moment where I'm like,
right,
how
field,
is this still
tangies.
Stop motion? It makes no sense, yeah. But it's amazing. And he's hacking the shit out of this glowing evil sky eel until. You know, he gets grabbed and tossed clear out to the river. And he's like, oh, my God, I just got thrown by a sky eel. And
except it's got like
a sky centipede,
hands.
I guess.
Yeah, it's like a centipede weird thing.
A floating centipede
thing. Trying to
figure
out, thing. Like, what animals they pulled.
It's also not that long.
Grandpa's magic is playing Snake from the old Nokia.
It really is.
And... But it, like, just hucks him, and I'm like, so what's the point of the magic armor and sword? Because it doesn't seem to be doing jack or shit in this whole situation. And so, you know, he restrings his shamisa. With the bracelets. He uses it. Yeah. His chakras. Shock? He takes the mom hair bracelet, the dad hair bracelet, and then pulls out one
I
of his own hairs. And uses those as the three strings. So it is Kubo and two strings to make the three that he needs. And it's him and his family back together to make the ultimate weapon.
Yep.
Familial love.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't think his hair was long enough to go.
Hey, man, he's magic.
All the way across.
So he just, boom, big old start of a rock concert power chord. Fucking everything starts lighting up. The lamps that were floating in the river turned into the people that they used to be. Like, it's bringing their souls back to life. All the townspeople are there seeing their loved ones come back from the dead to help Kubo out. And the sky eel's trying to get to him, but all the love memories made a force field and he can't get through. And I'm like, so he didn't need the armor or the sword.
No, you need
for
a special dead person.
He just needed
field.
The quest.
Yeah.
He needed the quest and the pieces of hair. So I have one last drum and the beast was done.
Oh, whip crack.
What up, Tenacious D?
Yep. Whip crack with the shamashan. And the beast was done. And he turns back into a human who's laying there. He's like, wait a minute, young boy. What happened to your eye?
All of a sudden, everybody's phones blew up. The silver alert. Some old man's just water. Lost track of him. Moon King's out. He was last seen in the freaking 98 Pontiac.
So he doesn't remember anything. And they're like, are you fucking with me? Is this still part of your ploy? No, I have no idea who you are. What? I just want to know why you creepy one-eyed kid's staring at me. Like, what's going on here?
You don't like popsicles? Good.
And so he is like, I don't know my own story. And the townspeople are like, oh, we'll help him remember his story. And I do love they're all just like, you were super kind and super helpful. And this one kid comes up and you always gave money to kids like me. And you know, you helped fix my roof and you did all the stuff for everybody in town. You're just so nice and you're not an evil piece of shit at all. So remember that you're always a nice, helpful person forever. And you love your grandson. Oh, this one-eyed son of a bitch is my grandson.
One-eyed son of a bitch.
I do want to mention here, though, this was one of the parts, like the only part in the movie really where I was like, I don't really get that. Because when it was revealed that the sisters had removed Hanzo's memories and turned him into a beetle, it was like regarded as this incredibly evil act to remove his memories,
right.
Like remove his personage, essentially. And then Kubo was like, well, I'm 11. I probably should take the authority upon myself to do that to this old man. And then, like, totally wipes his entire existence from his mind. And I'm like, well, isn't that the thing that you said was evil earlier? I just thought that was weird.
Yeah, but Hanzo was a good guy that you erased. This is an evil bastard
an evil
that you
god
erased.
Moon.
Gotcha. So it's okay when we do it. Okay.
Yes.
This is like a hard reset to get the viruses out. You know what I mean? Like,
sometimes you got to turn grandpa off and turn him back on.
30 seconds. Yeah. Turn him back on.
How do you turn grandpa on, Nick? How do you? Go ahead and walk me through that one.
That is a different podcast. So this movie ends.
It goes back to
you all like popsicles. So Kubo got these two lamps. You know, one of them's Ma, one of them's Pa. And he's like, hey, I'm glad I got to meet you. That was kind of happy. I got to eat a meal with both of you. You know, that was happy. But I still need the both of you. So if there's any way that you could come back and we could all feel the energy and end this story together, I think I really need that, and I'm not crying or anything. And then they come, they're forced ghosts standing next to him to help him put the lamps in the river and end the story. And we cue Regina Spektor's version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and we get
so
this beautiful
good.
Ending credits.
I usually hate every fucking Beatles cover, but this was so good.
I love Beatles covers.
Yeah, and
that
sounded good on the Shibango.
It does. It sounds really good on the Shyamalan.
At Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. So, Dan, let's start with you. Your thoughts on Kubo and his two strings.
Yeah, I mean, I watched it almost a full two times in 2 days. I would definitely watch it again. I think it was great. I wish they would have cast Matthew McConaughey as somebody different, but I didn't make that decision. I do have what I mentioned earlier. I think that the mom died like earlier in the movie than we thought she did. Like, I don't think that he was ever taking care of her in that cave. I think that's just where he lived. And at night that was him like talking to the spirits, like the people were with the lanterns. And I think that the entire time that they were in the far world or whatever it was called, it was entirely just like him going by his memories of the two parents, which is why I said it makes me really sad when they get in that fight and they're like, just go away. The adults are talking, Kubo. And I was like, oh, that's a deeply repressed memory from when he was just a wee bairn. That's sad.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know why that had to be included in there. Like, I'm a grown man. I don't need to be crying at 11 at night watching a stop motion animation film, but fuck you too, I guess. But yeah, it was great. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. I'm sad that it took me this long to watch it, and I will watch it again probably very soon.
Okay.
Same thing. So this is my first time seeing this movie, and it took me I don't know. I think constantly I had to remind myself watching it that this was stop motion. Just, it's so beautifully made. And the flow is, there's no words. It's just really, really good. I do enjoy the cultural story, you know, telling story through song, which is very Japanese, Chinese, Asian area where you're telling a story backed by a shamashe.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, Shaquille O'Neal. Always there. Always helpful. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. Plus, you know, they did have a lot of little things traditionally sewn in, like the golden cranes. Well, they call them herons, but golden cranes and things like that. So I enjoyed all of that. I'm definitely going to rewatch this. I don't know why I didn't know about it. I feel like a lot of people around me knew about it, but I never really knew about it.
So we disappointed you by not pointing you in this direction earlier.
A little upset because you guys are supposedly my friends. I don't know why you didn't tell me so earlier.
Yeah, well, we're nothing if not disappointments.
Rewatch for me.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much summed up everything. I think I saw it in the theaters with the kids, and I was like, holy crap. Like, even like the cool part about this movie, if it was just the story and regular animation, it would still be a really good movie. Yes. And if it was, even if the story sucked, just the visuals of the stop. I mean, like I said, you had to remind yourself that this is stop action animation, and it's a friggin' masterpiece just with the visuals. But the fact that it's a great story and it's friggin' beautiful to watch, I mean, it's definitely a rewatch. Anytime it's on, I'll watch it. And both my kids, when I was like, "Hey, I got to watch Kubo tonight," they both, like, my son popped popcorn for all of us, and we all sat down and watched it. Like, and they're all teenagers, and it's very rare that you get teenagers together to watch one movie together. So I mean, it was it's a good movie,
I guess, because I think stop action, I think Gumby for some reason still.
Well, yeah, there's usually like a slight jitter to it or something. You can tell it's frames. It's never this fluid, and there are times you're like, how is that an actual puppet that they're moving for all these pictures?
Yeah, I mean, this ain't like Wallace and Gromit or some stuff like this thing. I mean, those are great movies in their own sense.
I mean,
whatever,
even if you look at something like Coraline, a great film. I love Coraline, made by the same studio.
I need to see it.
Hold a candle to how incredible this
to what they did
is.
Here. This is it's fantastic. So I don't even remember how it came up or got onto my radar, but I know I sought it out and watched it, and then I was like, I'm immediately buying this movie. Like, it has everything. The story is great. The action is great. But the animation style, the visuals are fantastic. I mean, it's a wonderful movie all around. I think highly rewatchable. I can't wait till Rose is old enough to like pay attention to a whole thing, and I can start watching it with her. So I'm excited for that. And then I'm sure that I will have like 7 rewatches a day at that point.
It'll never be one you enjoy. It will be the worst one possible, trust me.
But highly rewatchable. Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't seen this, watch it now. And you can find the Regina Spektor version of While My Guitar Gently Weeps anywhere you stream music.
So good.
It is out there. And go listen to it right now, because it's a beautiful version of that song. They copy it almost note for note, but on Japanese instruments. So hearing the Eric Clapton guitar work on it it's like, holy shit. Like, the level of care they put into literally every aspect of this movie is impressive. So that being said, that's around the horn. That's 4 ways right there.
It's beyond airtight.
It's beyond.
Watch it.
It's also got like a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. So any movie that gets 97% on Rotten Tomatoes is pretty, I mean, check it out.
I want to say I can't remember what it got on the IMDb meter. It's 7.7 out of 10. So IMDb
seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, we're right. We're the professionals.
I think most of that is just people complaining about the voice actors, I think is what it is.
Yeah, there was a bit of that.
Again, I don't hate the voice actors that they use, but I mean, I feel like they could have expanded it.
It seems like the one spot they didn't go for, like, above and beyond with authenticity. Yep. Like, if you're going to put that much into the details of each leaf making up this ship and an actual 18-foot skeleton puppet, I don't know. Get someone from the culture of the story you're telling to tell the story.
And I understand that to a certain extent, but at the same time, you're like, $250,000 friggin' leave boat. That ain't gonna bring people in.
Yeah, you gotta think
about
it.
Names will bring people in, so I can understand that as well.
That is true too. But then they didn't market it.
Yeah,
they didn't push those names that they got to tell, make sure everybody knew about it, because nobody fucking knew about it, which is a shame.
Even, yeah, like I knew about it when it first got released, right? I remember seeing the trailers before it was even out, and I was excited to see it. I ended up not being able to, and I don't know why, but I knew about it before it was released. But even then, I didn't know about it because it name dropped Matthew McConaughey and
Charlize
Theron and all those people, like Rooney Mara, right? I didn't know that any of those people were on it until I watched it for this podcast. So yeah, they used it because names draw people didn't use the names to draw people in.
So everybody gave a shit except marketing.
Yep.
Way to go, marketing team. So that does it for us this week. If you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter at The Rewatch Party. Find us on Facebook at The Rewatch Party. Email therewatchparty@gmail.com. How do you turn your granddad
on? Don't tell us that. No. Absolutely not.
Tell me that.
Okay, tell Dan.
You know, how often do you battle your monkey?
Mm-hmm.
How did that whale get in the blizzard?
Mm-hmm.
Let us know. We love to hear from you. Don't forget about our sister show, The Tournament of Champions, where we rate and review the likability and fightability from characters in the movies we review here. We put up polls on our socials where you, the listener, determine who makes it into the tournament, and then separate polls where you, the listener, determine how those battles play out. So make sure you find us on Twitter and Facebook, because your votes do count. And then don't forget about the Rewatch Party merch line. That's right. We are now going to have Rewatch Party breastplates and penetrable...
Shemishan enemy?
We're going to make our own shamisham.
Yeah, our own sunny side up eggs.
Our breastplates are impenetrable, but our pants, extremely penetrable.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is
every extra penetrable. Every piece of armor that I own is penetrable.
Speaking of which, we also have condoms.
We'll slap this.
Hey.
Yeah, we'll slap this logo on swords, helmets, breastplates, eye monsters, monkeys, anything you want it on.
Leaf boats.
We'll slap this logo on it and sell it to you. Don't worry. Join us next week as we save a rundown apartment complex from cartoonish Kung Fu masters in Kung Fu Hustle. Until then, I'm Nick with Anthony, Elise, and Dan. And thanks for rewatching.
So this dude's mom was a hooker.
Some.